Well, I desire your prayers this morning, your attention, from beginning to end, if possible, lest something is taken out of context. Trust the Lord will bless the message today. Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew and the 16th verse, He said, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." He said, let your light shine. It becomes personal. It wasn't speaking of somebody else. It wasn't speaking of another place. But it was an exhortation of Jesus to all of us, to followers of the Lord, to let your light, that you have a privilege to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, to let your light shine. Live your life in such a way that what comes out of it, that other people, not just God, God will see your heart. He does see your heart. But let your light shine in a way that other people see it, such that it draws their minds to the Lord in heaven, and that He is glorified. It's striking to me how much Jesus can say with so few words. And we find that all through the Scripture. As we continue our series on the ordering of our lives and our homes, life is real, and we have to make real decisions that have real consequences. We don't come and just have a theory that we talk about and contemplate, but we have life to live. And so we have real decisions to make. And as we enter into a new year, and as hopefully all of us this morning, as we face the world as willing children of God, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, to be a representative of who He is, I'd like to consider the message in this verse that is found in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and the oft-discussed subject of the outward. What is seen by other people in our lives? Our conduct, our appearance, and specifically, does our outward conduct, Scripture refers to it as our conversation sometimes, it means more than just what we say with our mouths, but how we live our lives, what comes out of our lives, does it really matter? Does it really matter in the end? And how should we consider related decisions and areas of our life, because it's where we live? So that's the subject this morning. Have you ever heard people say, well, the outward's really not that important? You ever heard anybody say that? Have you said that? The outward's not so important. Why do people, we say, why do people focus on the outward? Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've said it. And yet we live in a culture that is obsessed with appearance, don't we? From social media filters to fashion trends, to the time and money and expense and care that is given to project a certain image, sometimes for ourselves, because it's important for ourselves sometimes that we look and we be a certain way, but also it's for other people, right? And indeed, we as human beings so often generally speaking, we place a lot of focus on the outward, from what we look like, what we put on, how we're groomed, how we carry ourselves, our posture, the cars we drive, the houses we live in, our apparent affluence or not. All of these things, so often we put focus on. And in fact, it can be easy for us as people to categorize other people as spiritual or worldly based on how they look, based on just appearance. The reality is that regardless of what we say, generally speaking, we put focus on the outward a lot of times. And often it becomes important to us, to we as individuals, because other people put importance on it. And so while we might like it to not be so important, it becomes important to us because we think it's so important to other people. The appearance, what we look like. However, and importantly, the scripture reminds us that God's measure is radically different. We mentioned, maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember, I think it was in an evening service, when Samuel was sent to anoint the next king of Israel, he saw Eliab, I think that's the way he pronounced that, one of Jesse's sons, and he was tall and good-looking and impressive-looking, and Samuel looked at him and thought, surely this is the one. Surely this is the one that God would have to anoint as king. In fact, I'll just read it here. 1 Samuel 16 and 6, it says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Catch this. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God, it says here, looketh on the heart. And this represents a foundational truth, that in the final analysis, God's evaluation is not going to be based on how we look, but he's going to look deeper than what's on the outside, and he's going to see what it is in our heart. He looks at the heart level. Our presentation is important to people, not so much God. The outward is temporary. It's here. It passes. But the inward quality of man, that is what reaches to things eternal. For good or for not so good. And the Lord understands that. And so given the establishment of this truth, and we could spend a long time with Scripture. I want to preach with Scripture. I want to teach with Scripture. I want our perspectives to be informed by the Word of God. And we could spend a long time establishing the fact and the truth that the Lord looks on the heart. Can't we? You with me so far? And so given that, we may say, so is the outward important? Is the outward, that comes out that is seen, is it really that important? And it is a completely reasonable question to ask. It's not a question to run from. It's not a question to be defensive about. It is a perfectly reasonable question for someone, for us to say, and for us to be able to get an understanding of, does the outward really make a difference? Is it really that important? Well, there's an answer. And the answer is in Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Because the Scripture is our standard to live by, isn't it? Isn't the word of the Lord our plumb line? Do you all believe that? Did you know that there's, and there could be variations of this, but we could draw three buckets in general on the board. There could be those that don't believe that the word of the Lord is divine in nature. They just don't believe that it's true. They don't believe that it applies to them. They don't believe that it's applicable to our day-to-day lives. And because of that, there's no reason to live to it. There can be another one where we say, I believe in the word of the Lord. I believe it's right. I believe it's true. I believe that it has application for me. I believe it's divine. I believe it's timeless. I believe I should live to it. But that's just not where I'm at. That's not how I'm living. That's not where I'm going to live right now. I'm not there, even though I believe that's what I should be doing. And then there's another one, Lord help us all, where we say, I believe that it's true. I believe that it is divinely inspired. I believe that it is timeless. I believe that it is applicable to my life. I believe that what I read in it, that the instruction that the Lord gives on what a godly and a holy life looks like applies to me, and I want to live to it. Isn't that the bucket you want to be in? Which other one would you want to be in? The one that doesn't believe it and doesn't follow it? The one that believes it but doesn't follow it, or the one that believes it and follows it? That's where I want to be. Isn't that where we want to be? It's important that we understand in all areas of Scripture that we are honest with ourselves as we live our lives. Do we believe that it's true? And do we believe that we ought to follow it? And if that's where we are, then Lord, help us to understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. And if we believe that it's true, and it is, that we give ourselves to understanding what doth the word of the Lord say. And the Scripture helps us understand the relative importance of the outward and the inward. And this morning, my burden, my focus is on the outward. But you can't teach and learn about the outward without also understanding about the inward. And therefore, we establish the fact we look on the outward so much as human beings. We spend so much time on it. It is so important to us, even though sometimes we say it's not. And yet the Lord looks right past that. So does the outward make a difference? There's a verse that is read fairly often that we're familiar with. And it's in 1 Timothy, and it is a verse that is primarily directed or written to wives. But the principle of it is for us all. And it says, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So this isn't saying that the outward is irrelevant. But what we read is that that's not what should be the root source of our identity. The outward. But the outward should not project ungodliness. The outward should project godliness. Because the true ornament is inward character. Gentleness, humility, peace, holiness. But if all of that exists, if in our hearts we want to serve the Lord, and remember what holiness is. It's not to be scared of. Holiness is not to turn from and be ashamed of. Holiness means that we have consecrated ourselves. We have given ourselves to serve the Lord. We are willing to be set apart from that which is not like Christ. And we are willing to turn and direct and give our lives to follow Jesus Christ. And if that is the case within, if that is where our heart is, then it cannot help but eventually it's going to show up. It's going to be seen. It's going to come out. This is just the way I think. If a tree's roots are apple tree roots, then eventually there's going to be apples that show up on the tree. And it would be a difficult thing to say to somebody, be a really difficult thing to say to God, Lord, never mind the cherries that are on this tree. I'm an apple tree. And they'll say, well, but it looks like there's cherries on this tree. Yeah, but don't look at that. I'm an apple tree at the root level. It's just that cherries are coming off of the tree. Now, if we strap on apples with duct tape to the branches, we take apples that didn't come from the tree roots, and we zip tie them onto the branches, or tape them on, and we say, I'm an apple tree. See? I've got apples on the tree. That doesn't make it an apple tree either. Because that's not necessarily reflective of what the roots are of the tree. But if it's an apple tree, and if the roots are of apple tree origin, then with time, and if tended to in the right way, eventually apples will come on the tree. And people can go by and say, look at there, it's an apple tree. Well, you know where I'm going with that. It's true, yes, of course, that growing in the Lord is a process. And we're not going to arrive overnight where all of the fruit, all of that becomes evident on the outward, the conversation of our life, that in every area it perfectly reflects Christ. The Lord still has land for me to possess. I haven't arrived spiritually. However, if I am one of the Lord's and I love Him and my heart is right and I want to serve Him more than anything else in life, then with time, with the faithfulness of the Lord, with some pruning that takes place, I'm going to become more and more like Jesus. I'm going to look, I'm going to behave, I'm going to make decisions that come out that look more and more
like apples if I'm an apple tree, that look and reflect more and more a child of Jesus, if that is what I'm about on the inside, it just doesn't work to try to separate the two and say, this is something different than what the inside is. None of this has anything to do with what's on the inside. If you get right that is in the inside, it eventually is going to start to demonstrate fruit that reflects what is on the inside. Not always. Scripture also tells us, be careful when you judge other people. Don't, because you judge them, you're going to be judged the same. We read where God looks at the heart. We look at appearance, and oftentimes we as human beings, we can get it, and we do get it so wrong when we look at people. We say, oh, look at that. Well, they must be this. They must be that. And we are completely, absolutely mistaken. And so the Scripture tells us to be careful of that, on how we judge other people. But Jesus also says and teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount that you'll know people by their fruit. You'll know them. This is how you know them. Maybe it isn't how God knows them. Maybe God knows somebody differently than you do because he knows what's on the inside. But you'll know them by their fruit. And Jesus said, strive to live your life in a way that other people will know you by what comes out, in a way that causes them to glorify the Father which is in heaven. And so, Paul reminds us in the 12th chapter of Romans. Brother Dion read it in Sunday school. I'll read it again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your heart. Is that what it says? What does it say? Your bodies. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't allow the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to be that which you just... which you follow after. And that becomes the whole of your outward. While on the other side you're saying, but don't allow that to be a reflection of what's on the inside. He said, don't be conformed to the world in these things. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed from the inside out. The world says, look the part. God says, be transformed. We won't turn there for time, but in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, Paul also says, what? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Holy Ghost dwells within you, and he's in you, and you're not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, because of that, because you are now God's, now you're his, now you are there to do his will, not your own will. Your will is willingly given over to the Lord so that he can have his will in you. And because you're not your own, because you've been bought with the price, because you've accepted that, therefore, because of that, glorify God, glorify the Lord, both in your what? Just your spirit and your mind? Is that what it said? No.
said in your body and in your spirit. And then it reinforces it. It says, which are God's? And so the decisions that I make about the outward, those things that have to do with my overall conversation, how I present myself to the world, yes, how I look, where I go, where I don't go, decisions that I make in my home, all of these things that become the fruit of my life, regardless of where it touches in my life, Lord, help me to order my life. Help me to order my home in such a way that glorifies you. God desires to be glorified in the temple in its entirety. It's just that He wants the outward to be a result of something that has happened on the inside. Now, God is not saying, what you need to do is determine everything that you like. You need to understand everything that appeals to you and everything that you're drawn to, and then do the opposite of that. You get a gold star of spirituality if you can identify what you like and then just do the opposite. I don't find that anywhere in the Scripture. What I do find is that God loves us. He cares about us. He created this beautiful environment for us to live in. He put within us desires and feelings and senses. He gave us taste buds so that we could enjoy the food that He created. He didn't come and put all of this within us so that He could just then say, now if you really want to be spiritual, you turn away from everything that you like. Don't find that anywhere in the Scripture. And yet, I fear sometimes people can get so carried away that they feel like they've reached a higher level of spirituality by sacrificing those things that God never asks or expects us to sacrifice. You see the balance? The Scripture says, don't add, don't take away to the truth. Just live to the truth. There are many things that we can enjoy in life that we do enjoy, that God wants us to enjoy. When I go to the store, I don't go try to find the ugliest thing that I think will look the worst on me. See, when I make decisions and actions, and when we make decisions and we take action in life, the Lord doesn't expect us to try to determine what will be the most displeasing to us and do that so then we can be categorized as spiritual. But what He does want us to do is He wants us to be honest with ourselves, and He wants us to ask Him, Lord, are You pleased with this? Lord, help me to make decisions in a way that reflects Jesus, that reflects godliness, that reflects, Lord, those things that would glorify You, as opposed to the source of our decision making, where it's always about me and it's always about trying to meet the expectations of other people. Because we can get drawn into that in so many areas of life so strongly that we don't want to do anything different. And then this voice whispers and says, oh, the hour's not important anyway. Shouldn't be any problem with this. Just do what you want to do. God knows what's in your heart. And yet, we then take action that is more prompted by other people's expectations and our own will than it is saying, Lord, would thou have me to do? That is why it is so important as we live life that we're honest with ourselves to ask ourselves, what's my motivation? What's the reasoning behind the things that I do? What is the driver of all of this? Is God pleased with it? And we got to be honest with ourselves. No, we're not going to all look exactly the same in every single area. We're not going to do and be and go and not go and live life in lockstep in every single area of life. However, if we have the same Holy Spirit of God working within our hearts, and we are following that same Spirit of God that is leading us into truth and righteousness and those things that He is pleased with, we won't be worlds apart either. It's going to be pretty close. But we're individuals, and God gives us individuality with different likes and dislikes, things we desire, things we don't desire. And there is a way to live life where I can make decisions that are pleasing to me and that are pleasing to God. It doesn't have to be an either or. God gives us life, as was said, to enjoy. He also wants to protect us. And if He asks us things and says, and we read in the Word of the Lord, maybe there's a verse that we read in the Holy Spirit, touches our hearts and puts His finger on a particular area in our life that we have given ourselves to that is pleasing to us. And the Lord says, you really ought to make a change in that area. He's doing it because He cares about us and He loves us. And if our will is to do the will of the Lord, then we'll make those changes and we'll be doing it because that's what we want to do. Because we believe that the word of the Lord is true and that I have given myself to live according to the word of the Lord, regardless of how it makes me feel sometimes. That there's something deeper that is at work. That I want to live my life in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Society prizes image so often. But God is substantive. God is about what is real and not just about what is apparent. And He wants the substance of our lives to glorify and honor Him. And He doesn't want us to misrepresent Him either. Did you know that I could live my life and I can have my focus so much on the outward? We need to be careful that we don't do this. We can have our focus so much on the outward that we do a lot of good things. Our appearance is right. We look right. We won't be categorized as living according to those things of the world that are ungodly. No one can put their finger on us for that. We can stay away from places that we know if we went to might cause questions in other people's minds. We can order our lives and order our homes in the strictest of standards. We can live, yes, we can live a life of sacrifice. And all the time, it goes about surface deep. And we can have all of those things in order
And yet if we have, for example, a carnal spirit, or if the motivation of all those things is pride, I remember one time somebody, she didn't know me real well, somebody out where she was talking about something, and she was speaking of a preacher. She didn't know I was a preacher. You hear lots of things as preachers, about preachers, from people that don't know you're a preacher. She told me, she said, he's a preacher over there, but she said, he's the proudest man I've ever met. That wasn't a very good testimony. He had all these things seemingly right and righteous and where he was supposed to be, but he missed the most important thing. God does not want us to focus so much on the expectations of other people, whether it is the world or whether it is people at church, that we miss the most important thing. God doesn't want to be misrepresented. It's not a pretty thing. This is me talking. It's not a pretty thing to see somebody that looks right in so many ways with the eyes and yet behaves in a way that is so contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. God sees through all of that. Jesus himself warned the Pharisees, Matthew 23 and 27, he said, You're like whited sepulchres. You look so good on the outside, but inside you're as dead men's bones. And he also cautioned against giving and praying just to be seen of men. Remember what he said? He said, you have your reward. And if we live religious lives, with quotes around it, if we live religious, sacrificial lives with the intent that we are viewed favorably in the eyes of other Christians, and that's the extent of where our outward comes from, you'll have your reward. Perhaps you'll be accepted by other people that value those sorts of things and want to serve the Lord, and it looks by all appearances that your fruit is that, and that's why you're doing it, is for their acceptance, that you'll have your reward. And on the other hand, if you want to give yourselves to filling the satisfaction of those things that the flesh is drawn to and accepted by other people, and that you yourself, those things that we're drawn to that maybe not like Christ, and you do those things, there'll be a reward for that too. There's some satisfaction that goes with that. There's some pleasure that goes with that. But you'll have your reward. But in both cases, we miss out on the most important reward of all. And that is having the favor of the Lord upon our lives. So Paul said in Colossians 3 and 17, whatever it is that you do, in word or deed, whatever you do, and yes, it includes the outward, it includes the fruit of your life, the things that come out in your day-to-day living and how you order your life in your home, the things you do, what you choose to put on, how you choose to present yourself to the world, the behaviors that come out of your life, decisions that you make with the resources that you have. Whatever you do, the Scripture says, and if we believe the Scripture, I want to take this to heart. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now a note as we start to conclude. The Lord does not desire that we be in bondage and under constant accusation and guilt without known cause in how we live our lives. I want to say that again. Scripture will bear out. There's a rest for the people of God. The Scripture bears out that the Lord loves us. The Scripture bears out in many places where Jesus said, "Don't be fearful. Trust me." The Lord does not desire that we as people, that we as conscientious people that want to do what's right, because this is a danger that can be associated with conscientious people that are in this third bucket, that believe that the word of the Lord is divine and that we want to follow it completely. The enemy can use that and try to get into our lives and hearts and minds and take away the rest that God would have for us. Where we live in this fear and accusation and guilt and uncertainty that what if I'm doing something on the outside? What if I'm making a decision on the outward that is not like Christ and He's not pleased with it? And I get to the end of the way and the Lord says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Here's this thing in your life that shouldn't have been there." And then we would say, "Well, I didn't know that, but you should have known that. Depart from me." God does not want us to live in fear and bondage and guilt without known cause. He's a loving God. And He wants us to be honest with ourselves. He wants us to make decisions from our heart. He wants us to live in a way that, "Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do?" And then He wants us to be at peace with that. And if we have erred, and if we have missed the mark, and if we have allowed something in our lives that is demonstrated in the inside or on the outside, that we trust the Lord enough to know that He will be a faithful shepherd to us, and He'll show us if we miss the mark, and He'll help pull us back on track. This morning, prioritize inward transformation. Live with integrity. Live so that the outside is in alignment with the inside. Live so that the outward presentation demonstrates the inward presence of Jesus Christ. So that when the Lord comes back in that final day, and the world has judged according to appearance, the Lord is going to judge by our heart. But we will have lived in such a way that if our heart is right, that it can't help but demonstrate and show forth godliness and what people see, what people hear, and what people feel from our lives. It's a natural result of having Christ in our life. Mentioned the other day, I personally, folks, I'm not interested in playing religion. I'm not interested in having surface deep standards. I'm not interested in playing church simply for appearance sake. I'm not interested
in sacrificing and playing to try to look a holy part and be dead on the inside. And more importantly, God's not interested in that either. I want to live in a way that God's Spirit is within me so that I can live to the exhortation of Jesus that says, let your light so shine before other people that when they look at your lives, that they see something that comes out that causes them to glorify their Father, which is in heaven. So is the outward important? Does it matter? Yeah, it matters. The Bible says it does. It's a blessing that it matters. That there actually can be real fruit that comes from an inward transformation that takes place by the power and grace of God. I want to be faithful.